It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. And this week I thought we would go to the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, where we have this description about what is going to happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns on the clouds of heaven and returns to take his people to be with himself and returns in judgment. This is 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me give you a sense of the weight of this passage today. And as we look at it this week, that hopefully we would have a better understanding of what we can expect as we look in eager anticipation for the Lord Jesus Christ to return from heaven to be glorified in his saints. This is 2 Peter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Well, what a passage. Oftentimes, the biblical writers were concerned for God's people because there are just a whole bunch of things that make us lose focus about the fact that this life is very short, that it is short-lived, and that soon Jesus is going to be here and will judge the living and the dead. And there are all these things, whether it's outward prosperity or even suffering and persecution, all of these things can make us lose sight about how we should be living as Christians in the world, but not of the world. I'm conscious of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24 that are just jolting. He says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And the escalation of evil and the pursuit of happiness makes us all lose sight that we, as a Christian, if you are a Christian listening today, that you are a pilgrim and that you are really traveling to another country, another city, and that our home is not of this world. And this is no better time to consider this as we look into detail at what is happening on the contemporary scene in light of what is prophesied here in 2 Peter, and in light of what the Bible says to us over and over again about the second coming of our Lord. That really, this life, this world is not going to last forever, and all the pain and all the struggle that we are daily involved with, all the pain of living in a world of death, all the misery that surrounds us, all the hatred of Jesus, all of this is soon going to end. It's going to end. And this passage really does show us how we are to carry forward in turbulent times as we ask and cry out, as we're taught to pray, Lord, return quickly. How long, O Lord? Lord Jesus, come quickly. The call is always to watch, therefore, and be ready, quoting the words of Jesus. Well, today our passage tells us exactly how to do that. And so Peter is raising this great issue at the close of his second book. Peter's two epistles were written really to Christians who are facing great persecution and persecution and distress for the name of Jesus. And in chapter 3, Peter begins by way of reminder to stir up their minds to remember the words that were spoken of by the prophets. He knows very well of the ever-present danger of Christians to become complacent and sluggish in their expectation of Christ's second coming. And this epistle is given to awaken them out of their sluggishness, but also to encourage them and comfort them in their hope. All of these passages that speak of the second coming of our Lord come to us in the context of God's people suffering, which is just fascinating when you study this in the New Testament. In the midst of all this, people begin to have questions. In the midst of all the struggles of life, the Lord's sheep often begin to doubt, is he coming? Is he coming for me? And the Lord is reminding here the Christian over and over that all of this soon is going to be over and it's going to be made right. He is a just God. He is going to demand a reckoning. And the question really then becomes for us today as listeners, how are we going to respond to these calls that the Lord gives us here, especially in light of 2 Peter chapter 3? Peter, throughout this letter, is constantly calling and reminding these Christians that even though they are established in the truth, that they need to make their calling and election sure. And so there are a few reminders he is giving them here as to how they can live in eager expectation of the Lord Jesus' return. He says, I want you to know first that there is going to be an increase of wickedness, and that this increase is going to produce a whole atmosphere that entirely rejects the notion that there is even going to be a second coming of the Lord Jesus. I want you to listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. First of all, he says, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. So Peter says, first of all, look, dear Christian, here's what you need to know. And knowledge directs living, doesn't it? Scoffers will come who will blatantly attack the truths and the credibility of Christianity, and they will strike at our main hope, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will attack the church's only hope as it trusts in the second coming of Jesus. For if the second coming is taking away, there is no general bodily resurrection. General bodily resurrection in 1 Corinthians makes clear is that when Jesus comes, that the Christian is going to receive a newly resurrected body. Well, we know when Peter wrote this that all the apostles had expected to see the second coming. And Peter in his first epistle said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. He says, I want to stir up your minds by way of reminder. How do you stir up people's minds by way of reminder? Well, what Peter does here is give a big reminder that at some point, the heavens are going to open and we are going to see every eye who exists and lives at that point in time is going to see the Lord of glory coming in as a great judge on the clouds of heaven. And Peter is concerned here. Peter is concerned about scoffers in the church and scoffers in the world who are acting and tearing down the credibility, the historicity of historic Christianity, and saying Jesus is not real, Jesus is not going to come, this is all a myth, this is all a lie. Now, this goes on in various forms today, doesn't it? Atheism has just really grown in these later days, and we see this on unprecedented levels today, just the attack on any sort of exclusive claim of Christianity. Well, Peter says that the core attack will be that people are going to say he's not coming. And he says that they are going to deny the second coming by walking according to their own lusts. You really get the idea here that there is a total disregard for morality and the law of God. We're going to look at that in some detail this week. But Peter is doing this to say, look, don't lose sight of the fact, my friends, that as bad as things get, don't be sidetracked with all the distractions that are available, to lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. And we need to live in light of that. We as Christians need to let our light shine that Jesus is going to return, and he is going to come as a judge of the living and of the dead. It's going to be a terrible day for those who don't know Jesus, and those who have rejected him, and those who have put off coming to him, and those who don't believe in him. And that's why the call is always come to Jesus. But the good news is, in looking for this coming day of our Lord, we can be in eager expectation that when he comes in all of his glory and in all of his splendor, he is going to claim those who have believed in him and give them a new resurrected body so that they will forever be with him in heaven. My friends, that's coming. Which side do you stand on? Are you for Jesus or against him? It's my prayer today that you have embraced Jesus Christ in true and saving faith. At the Linden United Reformed Church, the great promise we make to all those who attend is that we will preach the Word of God in season and out of season. I'm going through the book of Exodus in the morning, and it is an exciting book to go through to see Jesus Christ and his person and work throughout the whole book. Join us for worship this Sunday. You're given an invite from our radio program to join us. Our worship service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. A lot of resources for you at our website, lindenurc.com, or of course, you're always welcome to call 360-318-0429. We're thankful you tune in, and thankful to bring this radio broadcast to you week in and week out. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.